Hello and welcome to Simply Reds, a Manchester United podcast. My name is Zane. If this podcast was a restaurant, I would be the proprietor. I'm joined by Mujtaba, who would be the restaurant manager, and Mitt, who would be a waitress on a zero-hour contract. On this week's show, we reopen the topic of whether Ollie should be given the job after we've seen him face the big boys. We've also had the opportunity to see the squad players under multiple managers. So who's not good enough? Who needs to go? We also look at our squad and where we need to strengthen with that age-old segment of transfer window shopping. Check us out at simplyreds.co.uk. If you've got some questions, you've got a topic for us to discuss, tweet us at simply_reds on Twitter. Let's get to the new segment. It's been a busy period since we last spoke. We've had 9 games. We wrapped up January with a 3-1 win versus Arsenal in the FA Cup fourth round. We had a 2-2 draw against Burnley, then on to February, 1-0 win versus Leicester at home, followed by a 3-0 away win to Fulham, a 2-0 loss at home to PSG in the Champions League. Hope you're keeping track of all of these. 2-0 away win to Chelsea in the FA Cup fifth round, a 0-0 draw versus Liverpool at home, a 3-1 win versus Palace away, a 3-2 home win versus Southampton. So taking all that into consideration, having faced a few more big boys, including, as I said, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool and PSG, it's probably a good time to reassess our position should Ollie be given the job.
Well, to be honest, you spoke about that busy period, and personally, my target for that period was, okay, we have to beat Chelsea, well, Arsenal. So after the Arsenal game, I thought, okay, we're going away to Chelsea, we have to win that one. And if we do win that one, the only tough team remaining in the cup will be Man City. And if we don't win it from there, then fair play. They're better than us. Then I'm happy with that, what the progress we made in the cup. And then when it came to the Champions League, I thought to myself, I don't expect us to beat PSG. But I'm still going to give Ole the chance to show some sort of character in the second leg. We probably will lose. But I want to show some, I want them to show some sort of fight to show that, you know, we haven't bent over.
So, but do you think he should be given the job based on his performance so far? You talk about your expectations with regards to some of these bigger teams. Taking that into consideration, so what are you saying here? Are you saying that, you know, under Ollie, we can never beat PSG? Or are you saying, you know, he needs more time? He needs a whole season. He needs to buy some players in. And the combination of that will result in us being able to go toe-to-toe with the top teams.
I'm gonna give it one more week. So after the PSG game and after Arsenal away on Sunday, I think you'll have an answer from me. But if you had to squeeze something out of me right now, I would say yes, he's done enough. I don't think anyone would have predicted what he's done and achieved thus far. It's been remarkable. Look where we are. We were, 11 points off, I don't know, fourth or something, and now we're 3 points off third. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, Jose Mourinho said fourth place is... It'll be a miracle to get a fourth place. Now we could get set third. So it's been amazing. And we've had a great run in the cup as well. Away to Arsenal, away to Chelsea. Do you think Mourinho would have won those games? I don't think so. So, if you put a gun to my head, yes, Ollie should get the job.
I think it's hard not to give it to him now. I think we're in a position where it's inevitable that they're going to give it to him. And also, I don't know if they should just rush the decision now. What difference does it make if they give it to him now or in a few weeks or even at the end of the season? I don't think it will make a massive difference in terms of results. But I think, going back to Mudge's point, I don't think it's just the results. Look at how the fans are in Old Trafford. You know, everyone's perked up. Everyone's a lot more happier. So it's not just about the results, but it's bringing that whole sort of culture back and happiness back amongst fans and players. I think that's probably the biggest thing he's done as well in terms of turning it around in such a short period. But yeah, on the last show that we did about a month ago, I wasn't so sure. But now I think I'm getting there. I'm around 90% in terms of giving him the job. And especially with like how Pochettino is also kind of bottled it in the last couple of games as well. It's just pushed, you know, sort of Ollie's, you know, everyone wanting Ollie even more now.
Yeah. Okay. So my thoughts on this are, I don't doubt, you know, he's great for the club and for the fans. He's United through and through, right? I mean, no other manager post Ferguson has been more united than Ollie. But for me, does he have the experience at the highest level? That's the only thing that I would question. I mean, his tactical naivety showed versus Pochettino, even though we won the game when we faced PSG again, and then to a lesser extent versus Klopp. So when you take those things into consideration, I think what we have to look at as Manchester United fans is if he was to be given the job, maybe for the next couple of seasons, you know, one, two seasons, we wouldn't be going toe-to-toe with the top teams. It would kind of be almost a rebuilding type exercise. Or would you rather have a manager come in, all guns blazing, give him all the money that he needs, give him a massive purse, and we go for the title? What would you rather have?
Do you know, in terms of, like, if we look back at sort of the history in terms of caretaker managers, look at Di Matteo, for example, right? He was given the job on the back end of, I think he won the Champions League. Obviously, they had to give him the job. Now, you don't know what's going to happen next season. Everyone's on a high at the moment. So, you know, one or two games can cause a blip. And then what happens next season, you know, after we've given him the job? So it's difficult to say. And personally, in terms of the squad we've got right now, I still think we're sort of 5 to 6 players away from even challenging for the title. I think right now, you know, we're playing well and everything's going well. But, you know, when the new season starts and results don't go your way, you know, that's when it's sort of the pressure's on him as well. So it's difficult to say, really, but definitely investment is needed in multiple areas, because we just don't have a good enough squad at the moment.
That's a very interesting thought. So you think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's potential lack of experience at the highest level can be countered by potentially us having or strengthening in a couple of different areas. It's a good point. Mudge, your thoughts?
Well, look, it's a double-edged sword, really. Do we stick with Ole and accept that it's going to be a rebuilding job? Or do we go for, you know, someone who's made and ready to win us trophies? But you know what? We tried that already. We thought we did that with Jose Mourinho. We thought we did that with Van Gaal, and it didn't work out. And also, if there is a manager out there that is decent, like Pochettino, is he going to come and sort of do the job that Ole is doing so well at, i.e. Sort of identifying what the fans want and need, the culture of the club, all that? That's going to be difficult. And all the managers who potentially could do that are all inexperienced. So we're not going to get both. It's either going to be one or the other. Like some of the other managers that are available that who know the club, like Ryan Giggs, I don't know, Carrick, all these, they're inexperienced as well. So, and we know that it's for the club, that's very, very important. Solskjaer's shown that anyway. So I think we have to stick with him. I don't think there's anyone out there right now who's like the best manager in the world who come in and make an amazing, who'll win trophies immediately. Remember, Jose was the only man. I don't think there's anyone available right now who could do that anyway. So it's either Ole or we take the risk with Pochettino, but Pochettino doesn't know the club. So that's my opinion.
Yeah. I think as you were just going through your thought process there, what struck me in my mind was if we look back to the managerial individuals that we think can do the job, Pochettino was one of the ones that I think we all thought, right, this is the guy for the job. I don't think we actually at that time thought that he would come straight away, come into the club and start winning trophies. I think even with Pochettino, it's a case of we need to try something different. We need to find the right man for the job. And his credentials were such that, you know, he is, a really good manager, both on and off the field. He would represent the club well. Not only that, he would give us a new identity, a good style of football. And it would take him, I think we as fans would be fully acceptant of the fact that it would take him a few seasons before we actually started winning trophies. But what he brings to the table is exactly that, you know, steering that ship back into the right direction. But now what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done is he's chucked himself into that mixer because he's actually delivering those results. And now if somebody asked us, well, who do you want as the manager? Whether it's Pochettino or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is probably the better man now, given the fact that he's not only United through and through, but he's already got us playing a decent style of football. And if we went with Pochettino, we would have to wait a few years for some trophies anyway. So why not wait a few years with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to win a few trophies?
Ole's at the wheel. You just need to remove a few players and replace them with someone else.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, on that note, beautiful segue. So now we've seen the same squad of players play under multiple managers, we're in a better position to judge who's actually good, right? So who isn't good enough and who needs to be shipped out?
How long have you got, Zane?
I've only got 30 minutes, my friend.
Just watching the game yesterday, I watched the highlights, and I know McTominay played well the last game, or the game before last, but this game, man, he's so limited. Like, I've seen him, obviously, he was Mourinho's main man. I think he won a trophy as well. Mourinho's own trophy, just gave it to Scott for God knows what reason. But it's just basic. I think we've got some really average players all over the shop. I know players like McTominay, Smalling, even Fred. I know he's not been given much time, but I'm sorry, he just doesn't look great. And he hasn't looked great under both managers, unfortunately. So I don't know.
But remember, your likes of McTominay's and potentially even Smalling, they're not first team players. They are squad players. Are you saying that they're not even good enough to be
squad players? Yeah, but you say that they're squad players, but they seem to rack up at least 20 appearances a season. Do you know what I mean? Like, Small is coming and he's thrown Eric Bailly out the window. You know, it's just one of those things. You expect them to be like in the background, but they're not. They're not. Even like someone like Phil Jones, who isn't good enough. You know, he'll come and then, you know, he'll replace someone, and you're thinking, why is he replacing someone? Obviously, these coaches are seeing something. I don't know what, but you know, it's just one of those things. I always think, yeah, you know, Lingard was good enough to be a squad player, but you know, he plays a lot more often, and he probably deserves to start now.
Well, have you answered your own question there then? Given the fact that Lingard was one of those players a couple of seasons back, we were thinking, what the hell do managers see in him? You know, and he's gone on and been given the opportunity to shine, and you know, he's shown, you know, what he's capable of.
I think that's few and far between in terms of who actually becomes successful on the back end of that. Obviously, Lingard's there, but there's too many passengers in the team where, like, for example, look, we've had Herrera and Matic injured, right? And then we've got Scott McTominay coming in. Do you know, I mean, in terms of depth and quality, that's not good enough. If we were in a title challenge this year, we'd struggle with that sort of backup. So just generally, like, I don't even think they're good squad players. Because if you look at City, for example, look at their replacements. They've got Mahrez not playing week in, week out. But he'd probably be a starter for us. So that's just my point of view anyway.
Would you, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been quite aggressive with a lot of the deadwood we need to get rid of. It's great to see that Fellaini's gone. And it looks like Valencia's on his way out as well, which was much needed. But there's still a lot of rubbish at the club. Rojo, I mean, where the hell is he? And to be honest, I'm actually enjoying not knowing where he is anyway, as long as he's not winning the team. Jones needs to go 100%. Darmian is still there. It's like, and like what mate alluded to as well, like in terms of depth, like we need maybe a couple of central midfielders. For example, when Pogba's out, we have no creativity whatsoever.
Well, I guess so, we'll find out against PSG, right?
Yeah, exactly that. And the same with Matic as well. You know, when he's out, we're screwed, and he'll be 31 when next season starts. So McTominay, you know, I'm going to give him time. He's okay as a squad player. I'm fine with them being squad players. And Smalling as well. Smalling's decent. You know, he does a job. He shouldn't be starting for us at the start of next season, but when he needs to come in and do a job, he normally does well. You know, he's decent. He can do a job. But Jones is one that definitely needs to go. And then we've got the right-hand side to sort out. There's no solution there. Mata plays out there. He's not a right winger. That definitely needs to get addressed. It's just all over the place. We definitely need minimum four players, minimum. And when I say four players, we're talking about world-class, ready to start players who will make a difference.
Okay, and hold your thoughts on who you think they are. We'll go into that into the next segment. I'm going to... Very difficult subject for what I imagine, much about yourself. Piano Man, a.k.a. Alexis Sanchez. He should be playing a symphony, but instead all we're getting is a dud note. Has age set in? Is he finished? What's going on?
You know what? I can't hear you lot.
I see. Yeah. I'm going to press you on this one. What's going on?
Yeah, you know what? I'm really upset. I'm really, really upset, especially after the game on the weekend where he had a chance to step up and it was just the same again. He's always involved, but it's just like there's something missing. I just don't know what it is. It just reminds me of Torres when he went to Chelsea. It's like... Yeah. Just lost.
Do you think he's trying too hard? And sometimes it seems as if he's taking 10 touches when he only needs to take one.
I thought that at the start, but he's always been that sort of player anyway. He loves the ball. He loves a lot of touches, but I don't know what it is. Like it never looks like he's going to score, and that was never the player he was. When he doesn't even have a shot on goal. When have you seen him being close to the goal? It's like He doesn't know where he is.
He's no longer electric. I was watching Arsenal v United last season when he was playing for Arsenal. And as soon as he got the ball, he was electric in terms of his movement. But now when he collects it, it's like he's ponderous. He's lost that yard of pace. Even like he gets muscled off the ball. Obviously, he's always lost the ball like multiple times in the game, but he does, you know, some bit of magic. And we've seen glimpses of it, but it's never been that sort of fire, you know, where he's just had a half a yard and he pops off and it's just, it flies into the net. It's almost like he's lacking confidence. And I don't know if that's down to whether he's not happy being here or he's obviously been affected by his move and, you know, he's just not got it anymore. And it's difficult to say, but it's a shame because obviously, you know what we were like last January anyway.
Yeah, I think mate, you mentioned this lot on the last episode that the fact that every single player seems to have improved under Ole and he's the only one that really hasn't, the one that's been given a chance. And I think that sort of sticks out, to be honest. Like Martial's improved, Lingard, Lukaku even, Rashford, they're all banging in the goals and he's the only one out of all of our attacking line that hasn't shown some sort of improvement. And that's some sort of signal.
The reason they've all improved is because what Ole's brought in is, that a different style of play. You know, we're more aggressive. We win the ball potentially higher up the field. We, you know, try and create more chances. And with that change of style of play from a Jose laid back, let the opposition have the ball and hit them on the counter, you know, you'd think that would still potentially suit Alexis. Okay, fine, it didn't. You know, as soon as Ole came in and he showed this kind of new, not new style of football, but this more attacking brand of football, I thought, right, this is going to solve the Alexis problem. But it really hasn't. So whilst it solved the problem for the rest of the players, you can see, as you guys have said, your Lingards, your Rashfords, and pretty much everybody has stepped up. Alexis just hasn't. So it's not a case of the style of football doesn't suit Alexis because he's had two different styles and it still hasn't happened. Maybe it's just a case of age creeping in. You know what? To be honest, I'm just as flabbergasted as you guys are on this one. Okay, shall we move on to transfer wish list?
Let's do it.
So, gentlemen, we've talked a little bit about the weaknesses. Mudge, I can see you're chomping at the bit there. Your transfer wish list, go for it.
Oh, God. If we had to sign one player in one position, it has to be central defence. Like, we need, like, a world-class centre-back. I know they're so difficult to get. Lindelof's looking the part now. And we can't be going into next season with Smalling and Jones starting alongside him. It just can't happen. No, I'll just give up. And the only one that sort of player that sort of sticks out for me is Koulibaly. Like, I was really impressed with him when I saw him play against Liverpool. He's available. He's aggressive. He looks like a leader. He's fantastic on the ball. He's great in the air. He's good with his feet. Left-footed as well, which is LVG style. Left-sided centre-back, which will suit us. He's the one. We should just splash out the money for him. You know that. I like that guy. I really do. I can't seem to think of any other centre-back that's ready and available. So he's the only one that really sticks out for me. So he's one I'm desperate to sign.
Cough, Eric Bailly.
Yeah, that Muppet keeps getting injured, doesn't he?
He's in and out of the team, which is a massive shame, but I will.
So that means next season you'll be starting with your centre-back, potentially three options available to yourself. You'll have Lindelof, you'll have Eric Bailly and Koulibaly. Is that enough? Do we need more? Or shall we move on and look at some of the other positions?
We need like 10 players.
Because to be honest, the way that we play and knowing what happens with the squad, you'll easily get at least two of them injured. So you'll need backups. Are you saying, right, ship off the likes of Jones and potentially Smalling, dip into the youth academy for another centre-back, or dip into the market, get two centre-backs?
No, I think we just need the one. I'm happy with Eric Bailly being a backup and Transavi's coming back as well.
Then you've got to keep one of the two then, ain't you? You've got to keep either Jones or Smalling, or Smalling. Ship them both and dip into the academy.
I'm keeping Smalling because I think he's decent as a backup. Going on to the full-back spots, Valencia's on his way out, which means I think we'll get a right-back. And the one I want is Wan-Bissaka from Crystal Palace. I really, really like him. Oof. His quality. He's young, he's English. He's aggressive. I think he'll really suit us. I still don't like Shaw. I'm sorry. He's not my guy. He's not my guy.
Okay.
Who we can get, I don't know. I don't think we will get anyone in left-back. But I'm fine with that. If we get a centre-back and a right-back, I'm happy with defence.
And what about the other side? What about the Ashley Young question. I mean, he's always first on my list that he needs to go, but every time I see him play, he somehow manages to pull a shift out and do a half decent job. But half decent just isn't good enough. So what's the answer to that enigma?
I'm happy to have him as a backup. He can be backup to right back and left back, and I'm happy with that. He can do a job.
Mitt, your thoughts in terms of, well, anywhere in the squad really that we need to strengthen? Mucci's first answer was right. We've got to look at that defence. We've got to sort out that those centre-backs. What about yourself?
I'd go right wing, just because of what we have at the moment. Like Mucci mentioned earlier, Mata's not good enough. Although, seeing Dalot in the last couple of games, you never know. Stick him on the right wing. He's done well. He's 19 and he's young. And he can actually cross the ball, which we haven't had for years on the right-hand side. So you never know. But for me, stick 100 million on Jadon Sancho, mate. Oof. Do it.
An 18-year-old who's had, what, I think 8 goals and 10 assists in 17 starts for Dortmund. I had him on my list as well. So yeah, absolutely, completely agree with you, Mitt.
He's causing waves in Germany. He's just that player, isn't it? He's getting your, you know, you're getting off your seat for him, man. As soon as he gets the ball, he looks incredible. I mean, obviously, it's difficult to then come into the Premier League and see what he does, but he just looks, he looks the part. He looks like he's got it. Mm. And plus, he's someone that United would actually sign, you know, a young English player as well. So he's, and you know, even if you spend 100 million on him, you're getting at least, you know, 10 years out of him, and it's worth it. And he looks the part. So. That's for me. But in terms of
that, and we get one over City as well if we sign him.
Although we do give them some money, but it's fine. But yeah, like Mudge mentioned, the others are Wan-Bissaka and Koulibaly. I stick with that as well.
Okay, I'm gonna.
I'd love Chilwell from Leicester, left back. Yeah, he looks like good, but he's really good. He is.
I'm gonna be a little bit controversial here and say I think we need a proper striker more desperately than that ISIS bride wants to return to the UK. I think Rashford's been on decent form and he kind of fits our style. Rom's been banging him in. But for me, he just can't even play that basic football. I think he's a half decent bench option. But I do think we need to bolster the ranks in terms of the strikers that we've got available to us. But I don't really know who the answer to that is. And everybody out there costs an arm and a leg.
Oh, I don't know. This is a really strange one, because if we do sign a striker, what happens with Rashford? Is it going to be the same? Does he end up being shifted out to the wing? Or do we actually stay, you know, give confidence to him, say, you know, you are number 9, you're going to play week in, week out now. Mm. So what do we do with him? That's a strange one. I don't know. So I think we have to stick with him and give him that chance. I don't think we've got any other option. And if we need backup, we've got Martial who can play up front as well. And I don't know where that leaves Lukaku. I really don't know where that leaves Lukaku. We can't have him as a backup. We spent too much money for that to be our backup. I know there's rumours about Icardi at Inter Milan. I don't think we can do that. If we're giving Rashford, you know, the space up top, we can't sign a centre forward. I don't think we can do it, and I don't think we should.
The alternative is always to change the formation to potentially have two strikers to accommodate that problem. One potentially world-class striker along with playing alongside Rashford. Or the other answer is, as other managers have recognised, Rashford's clearly got some raw talent. But what they've done is potentially shipped him out to the right-hand side, which kind of, to a certain extent, because he's got a cross on him, it helps resolve that kind of, you know, we need a winger. We've not got a proper winger. So there are options available on the table. And I'll be, you know, the first to admit, I don't think I've got the answers. Mitt, your thoughts?
I think in terms of positions, I think we need to focus more on positions that we actually need players in. I think, like Mudge mentioned, Rom, he's a good player. Obviously, he's not that great, but it's a difficult one, because I don't want to see Rashford pushed out on the wing again. And I think in terms of if Ollie stays in, I don't think we'll go for a striker. I think we'll stick with Rashford and then sort of change up with Martial, Lukaku or you know, other players, or Lingard. But I personally don't think we're going to have that much to spend in terms of buying a striker, buying a centre-back, buying a right-back. It's just not going to happen. And I think if we had, say, 200 million, they'd probably focus more on a right winger and a centre back or a right back more than a striker. Just because I don't think they're going to get the money back on Lukaku, even if they do want to sell him. They'll, you know, I don't see him going for not even 50 million anymore. So do they want to take that hit? Probably not.
I think you guys have convinced me unanimously that we potentially don't need to shop for a striker. You're right. I think there are definitely more other positions. Your centre back and even the full back kind of equation that needs to be resolved.
Having said that, sorry, just one more thing. There's only one striker in the world that I would take, and I wouldn't really give a shit
Antoine.
What happens to. No. I wouldn't really give a
Harry.
Shit. Harry, mate.
I knew it'd be either Harry or Antoine.
It has to be Harry. Like, I wouldn't give a toss
but
what happens to Rashford if you get Harry.
I think Mitt is right, though. I mean, keeping your feet on the ground, we know how you love a little bit of blue sky thinking and jumping into cloud nine. I think if we were to try to get Harry, there's no way we... So, okay, how about this one then, yeah? We secure Harry for 200 million, but we buy no new defenders. How's about that? Would you like that much?
No, I wouldn't like that. For me, if we sign one player, it has to be centre-back.
Okay.
I can't have Jones starting again. Just can't have it.
He just signed a new deal, mate. He's not cutting anywhere. Nor is
Smalling. No, that's just a ruse to push his price up. Before we flog him.
Push out from what?
Even China don't want him.
Oh shit, on that note, alright gentlemen, let's move on. Is fourth realistic and a cup win? So how realistic is that? So just to give a little bit of background, we've still got Arsenal, City and Chelsea to face in the Premier League. Arsenal have just us in terms of facing teams in the top six, I think, and Chelsea have Liverpool and us. So I think our fate in the Premier League is very much in our own hands. And then with regards to the FA Cup, in terms of a cup win, we've got Wolves away. And then, as Munch mentioned earlier, the biggest threat is City. So how realistic is fourth and a cup win?
I think it's very realistic. Just because I'm not just looking at our fixtures as well, but if you look at other fixtures as well, there is like Liverpool play Tottenham, and now that Tottenham drew on the weekend and we won, they're back in the race. We've basically caught up to them. They're only 3 points in it, so it's obviously good to have two positions to fight for. So that's also very close. But in terms of getting fourth, I think we'll get it just maybe by 2 points or 3 points. But it's going to be difficult because we play some tough teams. But I think we'll be fine because also we're playing well away. Home form is not that great. In terms of like winning the FA Cup, I would have liked to face City now because I think they'll probably go through to the final, and I think it's going to be tough for us. And then in terms of like positions for fourth as well, depending on how Arsenal and Chelsea do in the Europa League as well. So if they get into the semis, they may focus on that and sort of leave top four as well. So
it's a good point.
You know, it's one of those things. Do we want those guys to go far, and that gives us more chance to get a top four position? I do. Mm-hmm. I think they at least one of them should go into the semis or finals, and that would be good for us as well because they might focus on it.
Well, do you think they'll prioritise that tournament and winning that over trying to secure fourth in terms of trying to get a position for the Champions League, or is it more about lethargy? You think because they'll go far in that competition, their form will dip?
I think we did it. Obviously, we had easier teams because I think this year in the Europa League, there's some good teams in there still. But when we did it, we put all our eggs in one basket and we went for Europa. Our form in the league kind of dipped because of that. But I think it's a good chance for either Chelsea or Arsenal to go for it. It's just one of those things. Hopefully they get far so then they can start focusing on that than us. But yeah, I think a team can only go for one or the other. I don't think they'll go for both, which is an advantage for us.
Okay. And much about your thoughts? Fourth, realistic,
fourth,
and a cup
definitely
win?
That's the minimum expectation now. I mean, we worked so hard to get in there, and like you said, it's in our own hands now. If we beat Arsenal and Chelsea, I think it's ours. We're gonna let City beat us anyway, so I'm not focusing on that one. So it's in our own hands. We've beaten them already away, so why not? If we beat Arsenal this Sunday, I'm content. And I think we'll get fourth. FA Cup, like I said, if we get beaten by City, then so be it. You know, they're a better team than us, and you know what the hell, you know, I'll take that. But I don't know, let's see. For me, that's successful. Top four and we lose to City in the FA Cup, I'm happy with that. I mean, I'm not happy, but I'll take that.
Yeah, for Ollie and everything that's happened, losing Jose midway, sort of midway-ish through the season, I think that'd be a fantastic finish
exactly,
for Ole
Gunnar
Solskjaer and the club. Yeah, in fact, I would even say, I need to look back at the table, but I would even say third is probably doable. And, you know, it's beyond a miracle if we manage it, but I think it's still doable. Need to look at the fixtures for Tottenham, etc. But that will be just, you know, absolutely outstanding.
It's only three
yeah,
points.
Fourth? How many? Three points?
It's only 3 points, yeah.
Well, there you go. So third and winning the cup. My God, I'll be singing Ollie's name for the rest of my life. That would be absolutely magical. But no, I think fourth is realistic. And as I said, and as we've repeated, our fate is really in our own hands. And that, gentlemen, I think draws this episode, you know, nicely to a close. But before we go, we'd love your questions and comments, listeners. So get onto Twitter. We're simply _Reds on there. And just a couple of closing statements. Can United overturn a 2-0 deficit in the Champions League away from home? Can United solidify fourth in the Premier League with Arsenal and Chelsea hot on their heels? Tune in next time to find out. Oh, hold on a minute. I'm just getting some news in. They've discovered a natural spring water source under Anfield. Yep, and I've just got confirmation that Liverpool are starting to bottle it. Tune in next time for poor gags like that. And that's it. That's been another wonderful episode.